and the greatest erosion of our national resources and national will that we've ever had. In short, I believe that our party and the time have met. We, the Democratic Party, has its greatest opportunity and responsibility in all of its long history. For it is a time of decision, a time of leadership. It is, my fellow Democrats, a time for greatness.
Let's make this number 5 for April 5 and victory on April 5.
Am I logging?
So let's all march together.
Everyone is voting for Jack, 'cause he's got what all the rest lack. Everyone wants to back Jack. Jack is on the right track, 'cause he's got high hopes.
I think that if I were unsuccessful here, I think it'd be very difficult to be nominated. And I think if we win here, I think we'll be in a stronger position.
Double N-E-D-Y. K-E-double-N-E-D-Y. Jack's the nation's favorite guy.
Everyone wants to back Jack. Jack is on the right track, 'cause he's got high hopes.
It's been a good...
He and I may differ on, because I think we agree on many things. What I think we're trying to decide here, what the people of Wisconsin are attempting to decide, is which candidate can best lead the Democratic Party in the election of 1960.
John Kennedy segrade i Wisconsin. Sedan gäller det primärvalet i West Virginia. Ännu en kamp mot Humphrey.
Well, I hope we're going to do well. I guess we'll know better by the time the votes are counted.
I cannot come to you with great wealth. I cannot come to you with a political machine, if that's what you want. I don't have either, but I... This is not something that should be handed around as if it were a gift or a plaything. It is the most responsible job in the world, the most difficult one. And whoever seeks it, and whoever gains it, whatever may be his name or his political party, must be prepared to give his life to it. And to his nation.
The question of a candidate's religion seems to be discussed more and more as the primaries go on, and it has been brought up here in West Virginia. I must say I don't agree with this. I think the United States Constitution settled this whole matter of religious freedom far better than we can today. It provided it in two ways. First, in Article 1, it provided for the separation of church and state. And secondly, Article 6, it provided that there shall be no religious test for office. I hold that view. I came to West Virginia of my own free choice. It happens to have probably the fewest of my co-religionists of any state in the United States. But I'm running for the presidency not on this question. I'm running because I think it's a most serious time in the life of this country.
Campaign.
I know when I see political genius, and I have seen it in my friend John F. Kennedy. The Democrats of this nation are going all the way with JFK.
We know it will not be easy to campaign against a man who has spoken and voted on every side of every issue. Mr. Nixon may feel that it's his turn now, after the New Deal and the Fair Deal. But before he deals, someone's going to cut the card. That someone may be the millions of Americans who voted for President Eisenhower, but would balk at electing his successor.
We've traveled within and outside of the United States over 500,000 miles, mostly by air, but a great...
We should rebuild our military strength, not because we want to declare war, but because we want to declare peace. If there is any lesson of the summit, it is that the communists believe that the military balance of power is shifting in their direction.
Why was it necessary for a presidential candidate in Brazil, in the middle of his campaign, to pay a visit to Castro? Why was the United States unable to get an indictment of Castro by name at the last meeting of the Organization of American States? Because the power and prestige of the United States, relative to that of the communist world, has diminished in the last decade. Because these people wonder, whether the future belongs to the Castros and the Khrushchevs and the neutralists who are turning to hostility. They wonder whether the future belongs to freedom. Now that is the great issue of 1950.
Can you imagine if this country elects a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate and elects Dick Nixon, Republican President of the United States? And then Lyndon Johnson and Sam Rayburn go over to meet with him as the leader of the Congress and sit down with Dick Nixon, who in 1952 said Adlai Stevenson had a degree from the Cowardly College of Containment, in 1954 called Truman a traitor, in 1960 called me a liar, in 1960 called Lyndon an ignoramus. Lyndon says he called me one. No, I say he called Lyndon one. He called me rash, imprudent, reckless, naive, and uninformed, but he called Lyndon an ignoramus. You think he's gonna get out and work with him? I don't care how many rescue squads they send to help Dick Nixon travel around the United States. I don't care if Cabot Lodge and Nelson Rockefeller and Barry Goldwater all prop him up and push him forward. And I don't care if they add Dewey, Landon, and Hoover to advise him how to win.
I run for the presidency of the United States because it is the center of action. I run against a candidate who reminds me of the symbol of his party, the circus elephant, his head full of ivory, a long memory and no vision, and you have seen elephants being led around the circus ring. They grab the tail of the elephant in front of them. That was all right in 1952 and 1956, but there's no tail to grab this year. It's Mr. Nixon himself, and I don't believe he will re-secure an endorsement of the majority of citizens of this country.
John Kennedy valdes till USAs president 1960. Det var en seger med knapp marginal, knappt 120 000 röster av 68 miljoner avgivna. Att placera Johnson på vicepresidentposten hade varit begåvat, och borgmästare Daley och hans partiapparat hade varit en välsignelse. Minoriteterna hade bidragit till segern, men det skulle visa sig besvärligt att tillmötesgå deras förväntningar.
Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Kortege genom Dallas. Större delen av folkmassan var vänligt inställd.
We can't see who has been hit, if anybody has been hit, but apparently something is wrong here. Something is terribly wrong. At this point it looks as though it could have been one or two or even all of the people within the car may have been the victims, may have been struck by shots. We don't know.
He was coming down the street and my five-year-old boy and myself were by ourselves on the grass there on Palmer Street, and I asked Joe to wave to him, and Joe waved, and I waved, and the man...
That's all right, sir.
You were ahead. As he was waving back, he was... The shot rang out, and he slumped down in the seat.
Med presidentens värd, Texas-guvernören Connally, på reservsätet framför presidenten kommer kortegen att göra den ödesdigra svängen in på Dealey Plaza, förbi en lagerbyggnad som heter Texas skolboksupplag. Presidentens bil kör i bara 18 km i timmen och är alltså ett långsamt mål. En vanlig dag förvandlas till en av historiens mardrömmar.
Something has happened in the motorcade group. There has been a shooting. I repeat, a shooting in the motorcade in the downtown area.
The president's car is now going past me. Now traveling at a very high rate of speed. Secret Service men standing up in the limousine. They are armed with submachine guns. You see Mrs. Kennedy's pink suit. There's a Secret Service man, spread eagle, over the top of the car. At this point, it looks as though it could have been one or two or even all of the people within the car may have been the victims, may have been struck by shots. We don't know. Parkland Hospital has been advised to stand by for a severe gunshot wound. And just now, we've received reports here at Parkland that Governor Connally was shot in the upper left chest, and the first unconfirmed reports say the president was hit in the head. That's an unconfirmed report that the president was hit in the head.
It was definitely the president.
First of all, we have a bulletin coming in. We're now speaking directly to Parkland Hospital.
The president of the United States is dead. President Kennedy has been assassinated. It's official now. The president is dead.
Femton minuter efter detta skakande tillkännagivande, knappt 90 minuter efter attentatet, grep Dallas-polisen Lee Harvey Oswald, 24 år, nyanställd på boklagret och med en del märkliga fakta i sitt förflutna. Han hade just dödat en polis under sin flykt från Dealey Plaza.
I really don't know what the situation is about. Nobody has told me anything. Murdering a police. I know nothing more than that, and I do request for someone to come forward to give me a legal assistance.
Did you kill the president?
No, I've not been charged with that. In fact, nobody has said that to me yet. The first thing I heard about was when the newspaper reporters in the hall asked me that question.
John Kennedy hade varit president i 1065 händelserika, kritiska, dramatiska dagar. Världens framtid hade stått på spel. Han hade funnits i händelsernas centrum. Ung, självsäker, fylld av liv. Och nu var han borta. Så många löften, så mycket kvar att uppfylla. Runt om i världen sörjdes han. Och det verkade som hans olyckliga död var något mer än ett urskillningslöst mord. För många verkade som hoppet självt hade mördats i Dallas.
Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
At 7 p.m., Dr. Martin Luther King expired in the emergency room as a result of a gunshot wound in the neck. And further details will have to be obtained from the coroner's office.
Martin Luther King dedicated his life to love and to justice between fellow human beings. He died in the cause of that effort. For those of you who are black and are tempted to be filled with hatred and mistrust of the injustice of such an act against all white people, I would only say that I can also feel in my own heart the same kind of feeling. I had a member of my family killed, but he was killed by a white man. But we have to make an effort in the United States. We have to make an effort to understand, to get beyond or go beyond these rather difficult times. My favorite poem, my favorite poet was Aeschylus. He once wrote, Even in our sleep, pain which cannot forget falls drop by drop upon the heart, until in our own despair, against our will, comes wisdom through the awful grace of God. What we need in the United States is not division. What we need in the United States is not hatred. What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another, feeling of justice toward those who still suffer within our country, whether they be white or whether they be black.
62 dagar senare var också han död. Tusentals sörjande kantade järnvägen för att ta ett sista farväl, och hans ord fick en ny innebörd.
We can do well in this country. We will have difficult times. We've had difficult times in the past, but we will have difficult times in the future. It is not the end of violence. It is not the end of lawlessness, and it's not the end of disorder. But the vast majority of white people and the vast majority of black people in this country want to live together, want to improve the quality of our life, and want justice for all human beings that abide in our land. Dedicate ourselves to what the Greeks wrote so many years ago, to tame the savageness of man and make gentle the life of this world. Let us dedicate ourselves to that.
I know that it was a source of the greatest strength to him to know that there were thousands of people all over the United States who were together with him, dedicated to certain principles and to certain ideals. No matter what talent an individual possesses, no matter what energy he might have, no matter how much integrity and honesty he might have, if he is by himself and particularly a political figure, he can accomplish very little. He wanted to do something for the mentally ill and the mentally retarded, for those who are not covered by Social Security, for those who are not receiving an adequate minimum wage, for those who did not have adequate housing, for our elderly people who had difficulty paying their medical bills, for our fellow citizens who are not white, who had difficulty living in this society. When I think of President Kennedy, I think of what Shakespeare said in Romeo and Juliet, when he shall die, take him and cut him out in little stars, and he shall make the face of heaven so fine that all the world will be in love with night and pay no worship to the garish sun. But I realize, as an individual, and really,
be idealized or enlarged in death beyond what he was in life, to be remembered simply as a good and decent man who saw wrong and tried to right it, saw suffering and tried to heal it, saw war and tried to stop it. Those of us who loved him and who take him to his rest today pray that what he was to us, what he wished for others, will someday come to pass for all the world. As he said many times, in many parts of this nation, those he touched and who sought to touch him. Some men see things as they are and say why. I dream things that never were and say why not.
Car that I was driving on an unlit road went off a narrow bridge which had no guardrails and was built on a left angle to the road. The car overturned in a deep pond and immediately filled with water. I remember thinking as the cold water rushed in around my head that I was for certain drowning. Then water entered my lungs and I actually felt the sensation of drowning. but somehow I struggled to the surface alive. I made immediate and repeated efforts to save Mary Jo by diving into the strong and murky current that succeeded only in increasing my state of utter exhaustion and alarm. My conduct and conversations during the next several hours, to the extent that I can remember them, make no sense to me at all. Although my doctors inform me that I suffered a cerebral concussion as well as shock, I do not seek to escape responsibility for my actions by placing the blame either on the physical and emotional trauma brought on by the accident or on anyone else. There is no truth, no truth whatever, to the widely circulated suspicions of immoral conduct that have been leveled at my behavior and hers regarding that evening. There has never been a private relationship between us of any kind. I know of nothing in Mary Jo's conduct on that or any other occasion, and the same is true of the other girls at that party, that would lend any substance to such ugly speculation about their character. Nor was I driving under the influence of liquor.
For the world needs now is love, coupled with Abraham, Martin, and John.
What is segregation?
I don't know what segregation is.
What is bigotry?
I don't know what bigotry is.
What does hatred mean?
I don't know what it is.
What is prejudice?
I think it's when somebody's sick.
Rise and shot, boys!
1, 2, 3, 4! 1, 2, 3, 4!
I can see many, many motorcycles coming by now, police motorcycles. Just heard a call on the radio for all units along Industrial to pick up the motorcade. Something has happened here. We understand there has been a shooting. The presidential car coming up now. We know it's the presidential car. You see Mrs. Kennedy's pink suit. There's a Secret Service man, spread eagle, over the top of the car. We understand Governor and Mrs. Connolly are in the car with President and Mrs. Kennedy. We can't see who has been hit, if anybody's been hit, but apparently something is wrong here. Something is terribly wrong. I'm in behind the motorcade, trying to follow them. It looks as though they're going to Parkland Hospital.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special bulletin. Dallas, Texas. The flash, apparently official. President John F. Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Anybody here seen my old friend Martin? Can you tell me where he's gone? He's freed a lot of people, but it seems the good they die young.
That's a cold days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live.
No one can be certain who next will suffer from some senseless act of bloodshed.
Anybody here see my old friend Bobby? Can you tell me where he's gone?
Mayor Yorty has just sent me a message that we've been here too long already. So,
My thanks to all of you, and now it's on to Chicago, and let's win there.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible?
Oh, my God. Senator Kennedy has been shot. Ripley Johnson has a hold of a man who apparently has fired the shot.
Get the gun. Stay away from the gun.
His hand is frozen. Take a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to. Get his thumb. All right. That's it, Raper. Get it. Get the gun, Raper. Hold him. We don't want another Oswald.
Like it or not, we live in times of danger and uncertainty. That is the way he lived. That is what he leaves us. My brother need not be idealized or enlarged in death beyond what he was in life. Be remembered simply as a good and decent man who saw wrong and tried to right it, saw suffering and tried to heal it, saw war and tried to stop it. Those of us who loved him and who take him to his rest today, pray that what he was to us, what he wished for others, will someday come to pass for all the world. As he said many times, in many parts of this nation, to those he touched and who sought to touch him, some men see things as they are and say why. I dream things that never were and say why not.
Why?
I don't know what segregation is.
What is bigotry?
I don't know what bigotry is.
What does hatred mean?
I don't know what it is.
What is prejudice?
I think it's when somebody's sick.
It's coming up now to 18 minutes to 1 o'clock. This St. Stephen's Day, Saturday afternoon, and on Christmas Eve last, which is only a couple of days ago, remember, I played a record by a fellow called Tom Clay, which was released about 1971 or thereabouts, called What the World Needs Now is Love. It's the sort of record you'd only play at Christmas, make people aware, that sort of thing. Played it last Christmas, Christmas before, and so on. And invariably, we had lots of phone calls after the programme on Christmas Eve from people who wanted to know where they could get the record, how they could get it, all sorts of little bits of information. It's no longer available, I'm afraid. It's a deleted LP that I have. It was available as a single in America and was a sizable hit, but was never released officially in this side of the world, only in small quantities, and obviously never made it. But it's quite an amazing record and very much a Christmassy record, and all sorts of morals in it. Have a listen to it from Tom Clay, who's an American broadcaster, by the way. And What the World Needs Now is Love, coupled with Abraham, Martin, and John.
What is segregation?
I don't know what segregation is.
What is bigotry?
I don't know what bigotry is.
What does hatred mean?
I don't know what it is.
What is prejudice?
I think it's when somebody's sick.
Anybody here see my old friend John? Can you tell me where he's gone?
We're at the trademark. The motorcade is coming by here. Something has happened here. We understand there has been a shooting.
Dallas, Texas. The flash, apparently official. President John F. Kennedy died.